Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh here, doing things a little differently this week. Let me pull back the curtain a bit and explain why. Most of you wonderful listeners know this pod is not really what my wonderful bosses at Fox 5 DC pay me for. I'm a hard news reporter. That's my bread and butter. That comes first. So I just wrapped up a great interview with Rick Gaiman Tuesday afternoon. I recorded my end of that in Maryland, where I live. Then I got a call about possible severe weather in Chantilly, Virginia, and that's where I am now, late Tuesday night, in a news truck, squeezing in a little intro. The good news is, while we've definitely seen some damage here in Virginia, no injuries reported, at least as of now, so the rest of this pod is likely to come out Thursday night, maybe Friday morning. We'll be talking about Summer League for that, also some NBA and NFL futures, but Rick gave us some great stuff for the Open Championship, which starts Thursday, so I wanted to make sure we got it out as soon as possible. Here he is, Rick Gaiman. It is my pleasure to welcome to the pod Rick Gaiman, data scientist and the founder of a great website, rickrungood.com. Rick, what's happening, man?
Not much. Yeah, this is very exciting, not only to be here chatting golf with you, but the Open Championship always kind of gets our juices flowing in a different type of way. So I'm just stoked for this week.
I'm really excited too. We're going to talk about the Open Championship at length here in a second. Real quick though, we have had a bunch of data scientists on this podcast before, but all of them focus on football. I think you're the first one who focuses on golf. Give me the quick version of this. How do you use, I know it's not an easy one. Give me the semi-quick version. How do you use data to bet golf?
Yeah, there's not many of us that are focused entirely on golf. You know, when you start comparing it to fantasy football or football betting, that's a much more mature market. Golf is still very much in the first or second inning. And the basic starting point would be to look at golfers that are playing well last couple of weeks before each tournament and have had good success at the golf course that we're going to for this week. Now, that's a lot of variables already because we go to a different golf course every week. There's wind. It's an outdoor sport. There's a lot of things that you can't control. And then you start to really hone in on, you know, the different types of putting surfaces. Not all strains of grass are the same. I mean, you can get as nuanced into this as possible, but I think if you're just getting started out, if you just want to look at a couple of things that you have access to, it's who's playing well now and who should play well at this course are the two big pillars of it.
Makes sense. Let's talk Open Championship. Returns to St. Andrews this year. It'll be the 30th time the event's been played on the old course. What makes this place so unique, Rick?
Everything. The fact that it is, you know, hundreds of years old. It's funny. We call it the old course. It didn't get that moniker until St. Andrews finished the new course. Well, the new course opened up in the late 1800s. So that's the new course. So you're talking about, 500 years old in terms of golf being played here. And it's so much different than the style of golf that we get on a weekly basis in America. American golf is hit it high, let it land softly and carry bunkers, carry water, carry all of the trouble. Links style golf is played much more on the ground, and the style of golf that's going to be asked of a golfer this week at the old course is one that is very creative and one in which they don't always control. These guys are not going to be able to control their ball when it hits the ground. What direction is it going to roll? How is it going to bounce? What kind of situation is it going to end up in? So it just creates a lot of variance, a lot of volatility, and can even make some of the best golfers in the world look pretty silly at times.
Bettors in general, let's say football bettors, very used to thinking about the weather and factoring that in, and what we're going to bet. But St. Andrews weather, this is a totally different story, right?
It's a totally different story. And golf is so weather dependent, right? I mean, that little white ball flying through the air with wind and how firm and fast the ground might be are always going to come into play. But St. Andrews is right on the coast. It's very exposed. You know, a 15-mile-an-hour wind at the old course is going to feel a lot worse than a 15-mile-an-hour wind at some of these tree-lined parkland courses that we get here in the States. It's just going to impact the ball more often. And I guess the big thing with the weather over there is that it can change in a moment's notice. You know, generally here in America, a couple of days out, we have a pretty good idea of what the weather is going to be, good, bad, or indifferent. Over there in Scotland, I mean, it is just capable of flipping on its head over the course of an hour. And sometimes what that creates is, you know, half of the field got stuck playing in really difficult windy conditions. The other half got much more beneficial conditions. And we call that a wave advantage or a wave disadvantage, where some guys are just going to get wiped out because of the luck of the draw of the weather.
Makes it so fun to watch. Makes it so hard to bet, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's just an added, a million added factors that we're trying to figure out.
Speaking of, here are the favorites to win it. This is from FanDuel. Rory, 10-1. Xander, 14-1. Spieth, 15. Rahm, 16. Scheffler, 16. Fitzpatrick, 18-1. We're going to get into a bunch of those guys in a second. However, Rick, got to get started here. There's a certain, on FanDuel anyway, 65-1 plucky underdog. A guy who's played this course once or twice, who I believe you're pretty high on this week, maybe not to win at all, but high on from a betting perspective. What's going on with Tiger, Rick?
Yes, the underdog. That's how we describe Tiger Woods, 15-time major winner. It's funny. You know, I think you have to be more optimistic about Tiger's chances for this major than either of the other two that he's played this year. You know, by the time we get to his tee time on Thursday, he's already going to play upwards of 50, 60 practice holes. I mean, he's been at St. Andrews grinding for days. That is something we haven't seen before the Masters or before the PGA Championship. And that tells me a couple of things. It tells me that, as we knew, this is going to be a much easier walk for him. St. Andrews, the home of golf, it is almost incredibly perfectly flat, and you just walk out in one direction, you turn around, and you come back. That's the way golf was designed hundreds of years ago, and it allows him to walk a lot of these holes without much pain on the body. And it also tells me that he's leaving it all out there. You know, if he's only going to play major championships moving forward, he's got 9 months to rest and recover before Augusta National. The final thought here on Tiger is, this course is going to ask you to think strategically. It's going to ask you to play angles. It's going to give you 100 options on every single shot. I watched Tiger Woods hit about 40 or 50 chips about 2 days ago, and none of them left the ground. You know, he was using 4-iron and rolling it up there. He would putt some. There's just so many options. And for Tiger Woods, who has all of those shots in his game, obviously has won here at the Old Course twice, it just seems like a situation where you have to be much more bullish on him this time around than in the other two major championships that he's already played.
So what are we thinking for Tiger? I mean, I'm assuming you're not realistically thinking he's going to win the whole tourney.
No, I think that's just a massive ask for considering how deep this field is. I would say, like, I'm looking at like top 25. If he finished 23rd, I think that'd be a really good outcome for him. I've bet him to make the cut, as I have in each of the first two major championships this year, both of those obviously winning wagers. So I certainly like his chances early in the week. But if he finished anywhere from 23rd to 33rd, I think that is a very fair and reasonable outcome for Tiger.
At least DFS wise, a couple other guys that I believe you like, Rory, Spieth, you want to dig into them?
Yeah, I mean, Rory McIlroy, the well-deserved favorite, very expensive in fantasy formats, as he should be. So there's a lot of things that go on at the Old Course. Rory McIlroy is one of the best drivers of the golf ball on the planet. There's probably three par fours that he's going to be able to drive the green if he so chooses. Now, the situation that he was actually talking about a couple of days ago is, maybe I'll lay up off the tee. Maybe I'll lay back a little bit instead of hitting driver everywhere. Because if you hit driver everywhere at the Old Course, it leaves you with a lot of 60 to 80 yard awkward wedge shots. And those are the type of shots that professional golfers cannot necessarily get a lot of spin on. They want to hit full shots into a lot of these greens. And those shorter wedges have actually been a huge improvement point for Rory McIlroy since the Wells Fargo Championship. And then if you look at what Rory's done in major championships this year, it's three top 10 finishes. And the only thing you could find that he's done wrong is that he's missed it left off the tee. That's not a problem here. If you miss it left off the tee at St. Andrews, you're just in another fairway for the most part. So you're ready to rock there. Jordan Spieth, talk about creativity. You talk about having all the shots. You talk about an open championship allowing you to enter the creative side of your brain. that is all perfectly suited for Jordan Spieth. It's why his major championship or his Open championship record is so phenomenal. He didn't even play well last week at the Scottish Open on Sunday, still found a way to finish T10, and I think he punted away 5 or 6 strokes coming in on his second nine there. So these are two guys that I think not only are great in Open championships, but like right here, right now, St. Andrews, the Old Course, should be really good spots for them.
Couple of guys I believe you are not backing this week, John Rahm and Bryson, who everybody seems to not be backing all the time right now. How come?
Well, the Bryson one, it kind of goes in line with the creativity and the multiple different shots that you're going to have to hit around the Old Course. Has anyone ever described Bryson as creative? Have they ever described him as an artist? The answer is no. He's trying to make this as technical as possible. He's trying to be the mechanic. He's trying to be a robot. Throwing a grain of sand into the motherboard kind of fries it for Bryson DeChambeau. So I just don't know if he has the side of the brain to function well at an Open championship, and his history in Open championships kind of show that. And then John Rahm this is kind of the scary one to not be all that interested in, but John Rahm has lost strokes off the tee in 2 of his last 3 starts. That's super concerning considering the fact that he went 44 consecutive events without losing strokes off the tee. And then you get a price tag on him in either fantasy formats, or even if you're looking at the betting board and you're just looking around and saying, there are so many other guys that are priced as equal or cheaper than John Rahm that you'd rather have. So it's just kind of an awkward situation when you start splitting hairs at the top of the board. John Rahm, unfortunately, comes out on the wrong end of it.
Anybody else you want to single out for good or bad reasons? And then we're going to talk about some wagers that you think our listeners should consider.
Yeah. So there's two guys that I'm fairly excited about. And I've already placed a wager on one of them. We'll start with that. Max Homa. Max Homa is a stat profile delight. His statistical profile for this year has been outstanding. He's been one of the better ball strikers. That means off the tee and on approach here in 2022. And he's plugged the biggest leak in his game, which is his around the green play. That's something he really struggled with at the start of 2022. And now he's gained strokes in that category in 4 straight. That's a really, really good sign. The other one is Cam Smith. Cam Smith is kind of stuck in between two sides of himself. He's been hitting his approaches really well, but he hasn't been putting well. And then finally, last week, he goes out and he gains a ton of strokes with the putter, but he doesn't hit it as well. So we're just trying to get Cam Smith to marry both of those things together. He's already won twice this year, so we know he's capable of doing it. And speaking of the left miss with Rory McIlroy, Cam Smith, when he gets going in the wrong way, he yanks his driver way left. Again, probably not an issue at the Old Course. He's just going to be in the other fairway. So I like his chances of keeping things in check off the tee, finding a hot putter, and making some noise this week.
Guessing you've already foreshadowed some of your answers for this next one, which is great. What wagers are you thinking we should be thinking about?
Yeah, so the top of the board is tough, and I want to kind of delineate between two minds here. If you're doing this on a weekly basis and you're keeping track of your ROI and all this fun stuff, it's almost impossible to bet Rory McIlroy. It's almost impossible to bet Xander Schauffele at their odds. If you're doing this recreationally and you just want to have a sweat on a Sunday for a guy that you think has a really good chance, both of them, Rory and Xander, are really, really good options. So I want to kind of delineate between the recreational side of things versus the other side. When you start looking at the rest of the betting board and some odds that are available, already mentioned Max Homa. That's one that gets me super fired up. Justin Thomas at 16-1. He hasn't putted well in his last couple of starts, but that is an aspect of his game that he's fixed this year. We've already seen him win the PGA Championship this year. He's been riding, Tiger's coattails around St. Andrews and soaking up as much information as he can over the last couple of days. I think that would be a really good option at 16-1. And then if you want to go even a little bit further down the betting board, you can get access to a guy like Corey Connors. Corey Connors is basically 80-1 across the industry. And from tee to green, he's one of the better golfers that we have. It's going to require him to putt well around the Old Course to find a lot of success this week. But I think if Corey can just putt okay, he's going to give himself a lot of good looks.
For people who like to bet matchups a lot, myself included, would you suggest maybe like fading a guy like Rahm, who we talked about earlier, or are you just fading him more in the DFS sense because of what he cost?
Yeah, so head-to-head matchups are so fascinating because you only have to beat one other guy. It sounds really easy. It's not always that way in practice. What I like to do in matchups is I like to find safe, consistent, high-floor golfers. I'll give you a couple of examples of those. Rory McIlroy, very high floor. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's going to finish like T13. Someone like, let's see, Max Homa has a high floor. Guys that don't have high floors, guys that have high ceilings and low floors, Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is all over the map. If he finished T67 or won this event this week, I would not be surprised by either outcome. Cam Smith is another high ceiling, low floor kind of guy. So I'm looking for golfers to fade that have that huge range of outcomes. And I'm looking to back the golfers that are much more consistent, much more safe. They're going to give me the best chance at just beating one other guy.
Awesome stuff, Rick. Absolutely love it. Where can listeners find you, man? Plug away. Take as long as you want.
Yeah, Rick Run Good is basically the key here. So rickrungood.com is a giant golf database and tools and visualizations just dedicated to fantasy golf and golf betting. My Twitter is at Rick Run Good. My YouTube channel is Rick Run Good. You're getting the idea here. If you just type in Rick Run Good, you'll find all my stuff.
Rick Gaiman, Rick Run Good on everything. This was awesome, man. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on.
Always love chatting golf. Thank you so much.
There you have it. Ladies and gents, part one of this podcast is in the books. Thanks so much to Rick. Later this week, assuming there's no more breaking news in the greater DC region, we'll be back with the man himself, everybody's favorite first ballot RNG Hall of Famer, Raheem Palmer of The Ringer. Talk to you then.